You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Around America and our great TV partner, Peacock. You can watch for free. Download the app. We'll have a poll question. We got a play of the day, stat of the day coming up. We'll check in with the Dallas Cowboys in a little bit. And we'll take a trip around the NFL. Chris Sims from NBC Sports Football Night in America will join us as well. Had baseball last night. The Dodgers up 3-2. You got the Bears and the Rams coming up tonight. A lot of good football over the weekend. It was great to have the Big Ten back. The Steelers, the only undefeated team, and the Jets remain the only winless team. Back to baseball. If you're a baseball fan, and you're a baseball fan who doesn't root for the Rays, you're probably pulling for Clayton Kershaw, last night at least, I think, Game 5 of the World Series. And maybe you don't care if the Dodgers win or not, but we want to see great athletes be great in big moments because that's how you add to your legacy. You can even make a name for yourself. His regular season numbers put him in the all-time territory. He just hasn't shown up in the biggest moments until this year. He pitched 5 2/3 last night, and the Dodgers go up 3-2. He's now 2-0 in the World Series. It's not dominating Kershaw, but it is good enough Kershaw. And if you're Dave Roberts, the Dodgers manager, you'll certainly take it. And if the Dodgers go on to win the World Series, Kershaw will have done a lot to put the playoff narrative behind him, or at least add another chapter, a positive one. And it's a good thing. We want to see our best players perform. And probably a huge load off of Kershaw's mind as he rewrites a legacy in real time this fall. Corey Seager is probably your MVP so far through 5 games. I like how he goes 1-for-3. His batting average drops below 500. But you've got a lot of contributions here, and certainly getting Kershaw in there. Bullpen always makes me nervous. Remember when throwing 100 miles an hour was a big deal? When I was growing up, there were a couple of guys who threw 100 miles an hour. Bob Feller, I think, was maybe one of the first guys on record as throwing 100 miles an hour, at least close to it. Nolan Ryan would occasionally go over 100 miles per hour. It's interesting when you throw 100 miles an hour. It seems like that's really fast. But if you throw it straight with no movement, they're going to hit it. You know, the thing that you have, if you have movement, I'd rather have 96 miles an hour in movement than just flat out 100 miles. I'd rather have 94 with movement than 100. Dustin May came in last night. He threw 101, I think, at one point. And now we just sort of expect it. You know, you have, you know, certain guys who come in. It feels like every guy who comes in from the bullpen is throwing at least 98 miles an hour. Like, there are times when I see Kershaw and I'll go, throwing 92 miles an hour. Like, what? You're throwing salad up there, you know? 92 miles an hour, what's wrong with you? But he has great movement there. That's the big difference. But watching last night, these guys just come in and they bring it. And these guys go into the plate, all they do is swing and try to use that velocity to hit it out of the ballpark. But up 3-2. And we'll have more on the Dodgers with that win last night coming up a little bit later on. This program brought to you by Breeders' Cup. November 6th and 7th, the world's best thoroughbreds compete in 14 exhilarating races at the Breeders' Cup World Championships. Learn more at breederscup.com/2020. Catch all the action live on NBC Sports. Got a poll question, McLevin?
Got a lot of options off the weekend. I want to start on the disappointing side for the NFL.
All right.
Start negative.
All right.
Who's the team that is most disappointing this season? I think it's obvious. Start with the Dallas Cowboys, Houston Texans, New England Patriots below on this list, and the Vikings, even though I think they were to buy this week, but they've also been pretty disappointing. Who's the team that, like, oh, God, how's this team not playing well?
Well, with what happened in Dallas with the injuries, I'm not as surprised that they're bad. I'm surprised they're so bad in the first half. They give up 20 points in the first half. I think they've done that every game so far this season. They're bad early, and you lose to Washington. I'm not surprised they lost. I'm surprised at how they lose. New England losing at home. Cam gets benched. I'm surprised. Remember, we thought it wasn't, you know, that's why we react. We have a referendum every Monday, Overreaction Monday. Oh, Belichick's figured it out. He's got his team. Cam's in there. Cam can make these weapons look better than Tom did. That didn't look good yesterday against the 49ers. But I would say New England's been a disappointment. When you lose like that at home, I would say Minnesota is probably the one that really stands out because they should be good. Kirk Cousins, I'm not asking him to be Russell Wilson. I'm just asking him to be a good quarterback. And you got a good running back. You found another good receiver in Jefferson. You have a tight. I mean, it feels like you had everything. You're right on the cusp of that. And now it just feels like it's falling apart. And I wouldn't be surprised if they're shipping out, you know, more players before the trade deadline. The Texans, I was never sold on just because I didn't like, you know, Bill O'Brien in either position there. More as the GM, I didn't like him. And, you know, you're seeing that too. That's a team that's got a, you know, now they're in trouble and they're going to be in trouble in years to come. Who else was on there, McLovin?
The Patriots?
Yeah, I mentioned them.
But I don't know if they're a disappointment. It's like one of those teams like, oh, maybe we shouldn't have expected that much.
Well, it's Belichick. He's not tanking. Remember, people thought, oh, would Belichick tank? And I'm thinking, I don't think Bill's going to tank. And then we thought, oh, well, Cam, and then Cam's running the ball. And then they were playing good defense. And all of a sudden, we thought, okay, with this formula and the AFC East. And look, we still have a lot of time left here. They can still figure this out. I'm not all in on Buffalo being this, you know, singular dominating force in the AFC East. But New England, you would think with Belichick, will somehow redirect this and figure it out. But when Cam got benched, that was a little bit surprising when they brought it Jared Stidham. But Dallas, I mean, Dallas is a mess on the field and off the field. You know, coach, front office, owner, like this is a perfect storm. And it's not going to get better anytime soon. Andy Dalton gets hit yesterday. And you know, granted, this offensive line might not know Andy's last name. But, I'm you know, they're probably going, yeah, our quarterback Andy got hit. Nobody picks him up. Nobody went over to him. They're just kind of standing around. And those players should be taking a beating today verbally. And I didn't understand it, where Mike McCarthy, you know, you're trying to get a hold of this team and you're trying to figure out who they are. And it just feels like this is lost. And when you're Jerry Jones and you're trying to figure this out, like, did we make the right call here with Mike McCarthy? Because if you gave him a do-over, I'm going to guess Jerry would probably do it over and bring in somebody else here. But it was just a mess. And it was kind of surprising. That this is a, it feels like the Dallas Cowboys got paid and then they stopped really caring. Now, all these guys got paid. Zeke, Amari Cooper, the linemen, every defensive player, they all got paid and they're not hungry. And you see that. I mean, this is a team that has, they really look defeated. They're not inspired whatsoever. But what else do you have poll question wise, McLovin?
Okay, one more NFL one. Which, on positive, just to get that out of our, that taste out of our mouth, which fan base is most excited about their quarterback after yesterday? The Cardinals with Kyler Murray, the Browns with Baker Mayfield, the Bengals with Joe Burrow, or the Chargers with Justin Herbert? Oh my gosh, is he good?
So give it to me again. You got
Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
Looks like a star. Baker Mayfield, Joe Burrow, or Justin Herbert?
I think Burrow, like, he's going to put up great numbers, but he's going to get beat up this year. They're not good, but he's still, I mean, he throws for 300 yards, and he doesn't throw interceptions either. Baker had a great game yesterday. I'm not sold on that yet. I'm not. I we've seen it, but I want to see it consistently. And, you know, that's always been the problem here. Can you continue to do it? You beat the Bengals twice this year. I mean, easy here. You've been blown out twice this year. You beat Washington, you beat the Cowboys, and you beat the Bengals twice. So I know you can only play the teams on your schedule, but it's not like they've proven anything to me. Yes, McLovin.
Also have a baseball one. Mm-hmm. The pre-show debate. Forget who wins and loses. What is the most exciting play possible in the postseason? Last week, we had robbing a home run versus a walk-off home run. Mm-hmm. Let's add stealing home into that mix, something we didn't expect. Which would be more exciting if it actually worked?
Well, trying to steal home is what you're saying because it didn't happen. But it doesn't happen very often. I think in the last 30 years in the World Series, it probably happened maybe one or, three times, four times, something like that.
They said like Lonnie Smith in 1982. Yeah. And I think the last time it worked was Jackie Robinson, maybe.
Yeah, against the Yankees.
That's exciting, though.
It is. But I would think that the play at the end of game four is pretty exciting, although that's not a normal play that you have, where you have a couple errors and then a guy stumbling around third. And it was exciting last night to see somebody try to steal home. John Smoltz once again had a great comment because Clayton Kershaw's in his windup and he doesn't balk. Because if he steps off, like if he stops his delivery, then it's a balk, and then Rosarena gets home plate. But he stays in his windup, which is so hard to do, I'm guessing. But Smoltz pointed that out. Yeah, Paul.
That ending of game four, though, it's like for Dodger history, that's either a funny footnote. Hey, remember that play that happened when we won the World Series back in 2020? Woo, glad we got past this one. Or if the Dodgers happen to lose the next two games, it's a stamp of, oh my gosh, remember this? Yeah. This is the painful moment.
Here is Dave Roberts, the Dodger manager, talking about Clayton Kershaw.
I just told him I love the way he competes, and that's it, and just finish the game cheering on your teammates. It was a gutty performance because, again, I don't think he was his best stuff, and he still found a way to go 5+ and give us a chance to win a baseball game.
I mentioned the Cowboys, and Andy Dalton gets hit. It was a cheap shot. And Mike McCarthy, rightfully so, was upset that his players didn't come to Andy Dalton's defense. Here's Coach McCarthy.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a hit that caused a disqualification. But, yeah, well, I mean, we speak all the time about playing for one another, protecting one another. Yeah, definitely it was probably not the response that you would expect.
Like, I want him to be upset. I would be. And I don't think he's a fire and brimstone kind of guy. I mean, he doesn't strike me as a great motivator. He may be a great offensive-minded head coach, but you got to get this team's attention here. And you're not going to get their attention saying that. Somebody's got to get in Bostic's face after that hit on Dalton. Like, just you have to do that. I'm not saying, get thrown out of the game, but if it cost you 15 yards, who cares? You're down 22-3 at that point. But they have no life whatsoever. And they have become irrelevant. That's the word you never want to hear with a team. You're irrelevant. Like, we don't care. I mean, people will care because it's the Cowboys and how low can they go, and people want to pile on and, hope they only win a couple of games and they get embarrassed. But they're irrelevant. Yes, Todd.
If you're one of Dalton's teammates that was on the field after the game, is it too late to talk to him in the locker room for not going to his defense, or even today, where that was your moment to go to him and forget about it now?
I don't know. I don't know Andy Dalton. I don't know if Andy Dalton could, he might not be in a place where he could understand it, or he got rattled.
Like, do they need they need Mike McCarthy to bring it to their attention about how to?
Well, no, they don't. I don't know who the leader is on this team. Was it Dak Prescott? Are they that fragile? That's what's surprising. I truly don't know who their leader is. I don't think their head coach is. Their owner probably acts as their leader. But, apologizing to Andy Dalton now. Hey, Andy, I'm sorry I didn't help you. Yeah, see.
But all of these players that we're talking about right now on the Cowboys that are supposed to come to their quarterback's defense are all essentially strangers. Like, they all just joined the team, it feels like. The offensive line, they just came up from the practice squad. Andy Dalton, nobody plays with Andy Dalton. It's weird to, rush to the defense of somebody. You're kind of like, oh, yeah, all right, I only know you by, your number.
Well, he's got your uniform on.
Technically.
Technically.
Come on. Yeah. I mean, you may have had to roll him over to look and see what his name was on the back of his jersey, but still.
Hey, 75.
That's your teammate there.
Right.
At least give me the impression you care.
Do you remember when I nearly lost my life out on the basketball court when I fell and was a centimeter away from almost breaking my jaw?
That wasn't in a sanctioned game, though.
It was not.
Just a pickup.
However, my teammates, one of them fell on the floor and started laughing. Pauly. One of them showed absolutely no emotion whatsoever and just kept shooting.
McLovin.
Todd, he usually doesn't help anybody at any time, so that was expected.
Now, in fairness to the room, I wasn't in there. I did see the video, and then I rushed.
Nobody rushed to my aid.
I walked to your aid. I didn't rush. Like, I was like, dang, did you hit your head? And then you go, yeah. And then we just started laughing. But I did. I walked to your aid. I didn't rush to your aid. Yes, right. Paul.
To be fair, Seton, you fell because you were playing basketball with your shoes untied.
Accurate.
And you fell, and I'm going to laugh at that every time. That said, if we were playing pickup and Seton, you were my teammate, and someone punched you in the face, I'm first guy to punch the guy back in
that
the face.
That is accurate. You absolutely wouldn't.
I couldn't wait.
Yeah. Mm. That is true.
Even like a ticky-tack foul, I'd probably hit someone.
I think I remember thinking, he looks okay. I'm going to go get some cashews and find out if he's all right when I get back.
Yeah.
Seems to be slowly getting up. He's not bleeding.
I mean, he's the youngest guy in the group. We figure he's resilient. I mean, your head bounced off the floor. Okay. You're all right.
I love the video, man. It's great.
It really is.
Because Seton's lower body starts going, but the rest of his upper body is still going to the hole for the pass. His upper body doesn't know that his lower body's already gone out and is up in the air.
It's wonderful.
So you're our Andy Dalton? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know how McLovin would feel about
that. Yeah,
I don't know,
because McLovin loves Andy Dalton.
By the way, this is like a real dangerous concussion that we're talking about here.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
Oh, I know.
It's just a joke.
Yeah. Well, I think you guys got to take the Andy Dalton situation a little more seriously.
Okay.
Here.
Well, I think we're taking it more serious than the Cowboys that were on the field are.
The Cowboys, I mean, they're checking their phones for their 401ks.
Oh, that's a team that got paid, and they don't care. That's a shame. All right, Tim Kalishaw will join us. He covers the Cowboys, Dallas Morning News. Of course, ESPN Around the Horn, he'll join us. Your phone calls are coming up, best and worst of the weekend. Settle on a poll question. A lot of college football to recap. Some great, great football over the weekend. And last night, in case you missed it, Kyler Murray and Russell Wilson had a showdown, and Arizona came out on top in overtime, 37-34. 38-34. Wait, what was the final? 37-34? Is that right?
That sounds right. It was crazy, by the way. As always with the Seahawks.
Cliff Kingsbury, there are some strange coaching decisions there, too. Strange coaching
People point decisions. Out, have the Seahawks ever played a normal primetime game in the history of the franchise?
They're fun to watch, but man, are they flawed. They are great on offense, and they can't stop me. We'll take a break. We'll come back and get to your phone calls. Tim Kalishaw and the Cowboys. Would Jerry Jones make a decision on his coach? Is Mike McCarthy somehow on the hot seat? Or all these injuries, maybe it's not as hot as we think it could be. 20 after the hour here on the Dan Patrick Show. I got something for you November 6th and 7th. You're going to want to clear your schedule and catch the best thoroughbreds from around the world. They compete in the biggest international horse racing event of the year. It's called the Breeders' Cup World Championships. There's 14 championship races, over $31 million in prizes and awards. Don't miss out. Two full days, legendary performances, and epic payouts. The Breeders' Cup coverage on NBC Sports runs November 6th and 7th. Friday's coverage starts at 2 in the afternoon, goes to 5:30 East Coast time. Saturday's coverage, noon to 5:30, post time for the Breeders' Cup Classic set for 5:13. The Breeders' Cup changes tracks every year with Keeneland hosting the second time. That's in Lexington, Kentucky. That's Lexington, Kentucky. That's Lexington, Kentucky.
Easy for you to say.
Just down the road from where many of the horses competing in the event were bred. Learn more at BreedersCup.com/2020. BreedersCup.com/2020. Catch all the action live November 6th and 7th. Only on NBC Sports. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. We'll come up with a poll question here. Your phone calls are welcome. We'll get to those coming up. Best and worst of the weekend. We're just talking about when a football analyst will say the following after a quarterback starts a game with a pick six. I don't think that's how they thought this game was going to start. Or they, you know, quarterback throws a pick six. Well, I think he'd like to have that one back. You think so? I don't know. Let me think about that for a moment. You just threw a pick six. I think he'd like to have that one back. Yes, Paul.
Or the tight end has a compound fracture, his bone sticking out. He goes, that does not look good. That does not. It looks awful. His bone sticking out. Not that doesn't look good.
Yeah.
You could say it looks awful. That does not look good, Jimmy.
What are some of the other ones that you hear that you just go, you got to be kidding me? That's the analysis that you get sometimes.
You'd like to have that one back?
Yeah.
Throwing it to the wrong team for a pick six?
I don't think anybody starts the game and goes, man, I'd like to give him a head start and give him a little pick six here. What do you think?
That can't be the way they drew that up.
We'll hear from Tim Kalashaw, Dallas Morning News. He's set to join us. I sent Kalashaw a picture of a heavy version, like Kenny Rogers. And I said to Kalashaw, I said, you look like a thinner, younger Kenny Rogers. Remember when I sent that picture to you guys? Did you think that Tim Kalashaw looked like maybe Kenny Rogers' son or something? Like a thinner version of Kenny Rogers? I don't know if Kalashaw took it as a compliment. He joins us now on loan from Around the Horn and Dallas Morning News. You do. You look like a thinner Kenny Rogers.
We go more with Josh Brolin.
Okay.
We discuss this topic on Around the Horn.
Okay.
Josh Brolin on a rough day.
Well, isn't that every day for Josh Brolin?
Yeah.
I think you guys.
James Brolin, you know, on a real rough day.
I think you should put a side by side of that picture I sent you.
Of Kenny Rogers.
Yes.
Okay.
And do that on Around the Horn and let Reale and everybody. Now, did I insult you by saying you're a thinner looking? Kenny Rogers was a handsome guy.
Well, I'll take a thinner looking anything. That's fine. You can pick.
Are the Cowboys easier to write about when they win or when they lose?
They're easier to write about when they lose. When they win, people feel good. You sell more newspapers when they win. That's a proven thing. So there's that. But, man, now some teams, when they're bad, they're just not interesting. And they just kind of go away. Like, I don't know what it's like to write about when the Detroit Lions are bad. They probably just, people are waiting for the Red Wings to drop the puck. But when the Cowboys are bad, there's usually nine different things that are wrong. And this year there might be, that might be multiplied. So there's, you can just pick out of a hat and go from there.
What does Jerry Jones do now?
You know, one of the real disappointments, not one of the serious disappointments, obviously, of COVID, but one of the real lighter disappointments of this year is that he doesn't do press conferences after every game, because I can't imagine what level he would have reached yesterday. it's one thing to get beat up by Seattle or Arizona's offense. They can't stop the run with anybody. Not the Washington football team. They run for over 200 yards. And if you want to pick one area of the Cowboys that is not beat up by injuries, their front seven, they've got Jalen Smith. They've got Van Der Esch. They've got DeMarcus Lawrence. They've got Poe. They've got Alden Smith. They got Everson Griffin. They got Tyrone Crawford. They got guys who are supposed to be there, and they can't tackle anybody.
And then you have the hit on Andy Dalton, and that nobody seems too concerned.
Yeah,
about the cheap shot by John Bostic.
That was it took the announcers a minute to kind of recognize, but they did eventually say, "Oh, okay, that's a brutal hit." But yeah, Amari Cooper is standing there, and there's others around. There had to be a number of players see it. I would think the entire offensive line had to see it, and nothing at all. I mean, I can't imagine. If that was Dak getting hit like that they wouldn't have done something. But that just pointed to the give-up factor of this team. They looked like in the first quarter, they're out there to see when it's going to go badly and you know, how much it's going to feel like Groundhog Day. They got nothing on either side of the ball.
But quitting is worse than losing, Tim.
Yeah, and the, of course, coaches will always and players will fight you. We didn't quit. Everybody has a great attitude. But when you see something like that, and when you see it, that, and when you see a team that just gets gashed in the run, and announcers every week, whether it's the Monday Night Crew or yesterday was Moose, or a lot of times it's Troy and Joe Buck, and they get very quickly out of position on these plays. They really get outflanked quickly with that defense. I mean, they're talking around the fact the team looks very poorly prepared and has no idea what to do, and the players never respond.
If Jerry had a do-over, what would he do?
On the coaching front?
Yeah.
Well, that, I mean, that's what was it about Mike McCarthy flying in and spending one night at the Jones house? And, oh, they were just so wowed by this guy. They couldn't believe it. Now, what have you seen in any game that he brings? He doesn't call the plays. So anytime the offense was playing well early in the year, that's Kellen Moore's offense. So what is he doing over there that he brings? I mean, he brought in all these coaches, guys he had in Green Bay 10 years ago, Mike Nolan, who hired him 20 years ago. It's just this cronyism-type coaching staff. And you wonder, and you wonder how much Jerry thought about like a Matt Rhule. He mentioned Matt Rhule one time last December, just after Baylor played in the Big 12 championship game. What a great young coach he thought Matt Rhule was. And here Matt Rhule took over a team that was just god awful and got rid of Cam Newton. And I mean, they're at least whatever they are, 3-4, and they compete. I don't know. I don't know that he wouldn't like to rethink this a lot. Now, it's the first year, so I think both the pandemic, the Dak injury, the offensive line being completely wiped out, those are going to allow the coaches to skate for a year. But he has to be thinking this may have been a terrible hire.
Are the Cowboys buyers or sellers at the trade deadline?
I don't think they have a lot to sell. I heard somebody saying – trade one of their wide receivers. They don't need that many good ones. I mean, that's the one thing they have is good wide receivers. You want to trade one of those and go, you know, draft a linebacker with a neck injury. That's what excites you about rebuilding the team. I don't think they will do much. They're certainly not buyers. They can't buy. I mean, I don't know why in the world you would add to a terrible collection of talent that has this many injuries. But I don't expect them to do a lot next week.
Yeah, there's 9 more games.
There's a long season.
I know. Dan. I know. But is that good or bad?
So about for us or for the Cowboys? Here's something to watch for, because people have talked about initially, oh, it's unfair. The Cowboys are going to get to have 25,000 fans and nobody else is having fans. And now some teams are getting some fans. Watch in 2 weeks when the Steelers are here and see how many terrible towels and black and gold fans there are in that stadium. It will be filled with them, because the Cowboy fans that have bought those seats, they will gladly relinquish them. And the Steelers, when they came here 8 years ago, they had 40,000 fans. They will.
They travel. They travel well. Yeah, they travel well. What are you going to do with the quarterbacking position?
Well, I mean, that's kind of enormous. If I, you know, you would hope that's a 1 week concussion, but I have no idea. That's something. Now, if they thought Dalton was going to be out a long time, that's something they might have to at least go pick up. I don't know that Ben DiNucci is ready behind a makeshift offensive line. That's almost completely unfair. So you just kind of hope Dalton, who wasn't playing well by any means, but he would at least give you a chance in some of these games against the East, although that wasn't the case yesterday, now that I think about it.
You wouldn't think about bringing in Ryan Fitzpatrick.
If Miami wants to just give him away for a sixth round pick or something, I would. I wouldn't trade a meaningful pick.
Yeah, they won't.
But yeah, I mean, he would at least give you a chance to kind of deal with the Giants and the things in this division.
Are you on Around the Horn today?
Dan, today is my 4th episode in a row, and tomorrow is scheduled to be the 5th. This is a Mariotti-like run that I have not made in years.
You're the Cal Ripken. You're the Iron Man of Around the Horn.
Closing in on the 500th win, and we haven't 485, I believe, is the number. So we're looking at mid-spring for some sort of celebration if you want to.
Yeah, But your celebrations aren't as fun as they used to be. So
why are they not?
Because it's just not. You're not fun anymore.
Well, that's more. I'm not fun at parties and things like that. But yeah, I thought my celebrations on our little television program were just fine until now. Now you've got me nervous. Now I think I'm boring all the time.
No. Just on this show. That's it. Not on Around the Horn.
Never.
No. You're great on Around the Horn. Well, I wish you luck. And
thank you.
Although I do think that I didn't even get a response when I said it looks like you're wearing a bowling shirt.
I was taking a lot of heat that day.
You deserved it.
I just kind of went with a casual look. That was our first first day back in this. That was the first day I had to do it by myself. The producer has COVID. So I had to do the lights. I had to turn the lights on. I had to put the little card in front of the camera, get a little white balance.
So you spent all your time on setting up the shot and not how you look.
Just exhausted by the behind-the-scenes work.
You're incredible. You really are incredible. Well, it's great to talk to you. And I'll be watching. As always, rooting. I'll be rooting.
All right.
And
I'll do what I can.
And thanks again, Tim, for spending some time with my audience.
I'm here for you.
All right. That's Tim Kalishaw, Dallas Morning News. I think there's Kenny Rogers in there, too. You think, Paulie?
Yeah, but I think if he's got the dark hair, Kenny Rogers kind of had gray hair early. He also had the hair kind of down the middle.
Yeah.
A little more 70s, 80s look.
I think that if Kalishaw, you know, had his hair done up, he could go as Kenny Rogers.
Like Islands Halloween. In the Stream Kenny Rogers.
Yes, yes. A little Dolly Parton action there.
Nothing wrong with that.
No. By the way, Dolly Parton is an American treasure. She really is. She is spectacular. She's funny, smart. Nobody sings like her. I think it was Glastonbury where they do those concerts and you can, like Glastonbury 2017 or whatever it was. And she got up on stage for about 30 minutes and just played all of her hits. She was wonderful. She looked great. She's funny. That voice still sounds incredible, remarkable. There's a documentary that Seton was telling me about with Dolly Parton that's out. And I love her. I think she's just a sweetheart, darling. Yes,
yeah, she's quick. You know, like every sentence has some kind of little, like, where you're like, dang, she's just great sense of humor.
I like when she's talking about Jolene and, you know, how she lost her man to Jolene. And then I think she was asked about, how does Jolene look nowadays, or have you seen her? And, you know, she said, you know, something about, she's not looking that good anymore. But it was all about losing her man to Jolene. Jolene. Take a break. Phone calls coming up. Play of the day as well. Back after this on the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Oh, my God.
The play. The play is called play. Of the day.
Runner left side, got it!
Check this out.
Mayfield back to pass. Looks going towards the end zone. And it's caught by Donovan Peoples-Jones. Touchdown! He got it! He got it! The rookie from Michigan got it with 11 seconds left to go!
Wow. That's your play of the day. Play of the day is brought to you by the Breeders' Cup. November 6th and 7th, the world's best thoroughbreds compete in the 14 exhilarating races at the Breeders' Cup World Championships. Learn more at breederscup.com/2020 and catch all the action live on NBC Sports. Baker Mayfield had 5 touchdown passes, and that ties the Browns franchise record shared by 5 others, most recently Derek Anderson. That was back in 2007. Also against the Cincinnati Bengals. And I picked the Browns to go to the playoffs, but I'm still not sure about them. I don't know the injury with Odell Beckham. You know, I still think they're a run-first team, or they should be. And they do have some, you know, some talent there on both sides of the ball. You've beaten Cincinnati twice. You beat the Washington football team. You beat a Dallas team that is an enigma. I'm not really sure. It's like the Bears. Bears are 5-1. I don't know how good they are. But you're on the national stage tonight, and of course we overreact when we see something on the national stage, but and I'm not sure about the Rams either. This is a game that I'm anxious to watch because I want to find out just how good these teams are. And I don't even know if I'll find out, you know, by watching tonight. But these are two teams. I'm not quite sure I know who they are. And there's a few of those teams right now. I don't know who New England is right now. Seattle, is Seattle really good? Or they're just really good at one thing? Are the Colts? You know, the Raiders get blown out by Tampa Bay. Have we figured out Tampa Bay? Is Tampa Bay, like, legit? Like, they're one of the top two or three teams in the NFC? Are they the best team in the NFC? You know, Packers get roughed up last week and then go to Houston. Houston, I didn't think they would be this bad. By the way, here's Deshaun Watson after losing and falling to 1-6.
Sucks. Ooh. Honestly. Man, this is new to me, so I'm going through it just like everyone else. You know, this is my first time experiencing something like this, so I'm just learning on the fly, trying to stay positive, continue to lead the guys, continue to come to work each and every day and try to improve.
Yeah, good luck with that. That is not a good team. Steelers, they are who I thought they were going to be. The Titans showed me a lot down 20. Came back, made it interesting there. And, you know, they stayed with the game plan with Derrick Henry. And when you're down 20 and you just stay the course, and I thought that was really telling about this Tennessee team. But Pittsburgh's good. They find these receivers. You got a couple of running backs there. And if you give Ben, if Ben stays healthy, then they're a Super Bowl contender. Buccaneers adding Antonio Brown, which is interesting. I like how Bruce Arians was like, Tom Brady didn't ask for this. He went, I'm like, oh, okay. All right, Bruce. Tom has been basically begging them to bring in Antonio Brown back in the spring. Yeah, Paul.
Wanted a quick Antonio Brown bet, quick prop bet.
Okay.
And Antonio Brown, what is he doing in January? Playing playoff football for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, other.
Oh, I was almost said doing time, but, you know, you said, what's he doing?
Well, it's a civil suit, so yeah, he's lucky there.
Okay.
Other encapsulates a lot. Playing, because the Tampa looks like they're going to make the playoffs. He's a member of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You would think with only, what, 10 weeks to go, he's playing playoff football for the Bucs or other.
Here's Bruce Arians talking about bringing in Antonio Brown.
I think he's matured, and I believe in second chances. Everybody wants to say that Tom picked him. Tom didn't have anything to do with it. This was some Jason I've been talking for a couple of weeks ever since the injuries to our other guys. And when the time was right, would we see if we could pull the trigger and fit it into what we want to get done? And we'll see. I mean, we have nothing. If Antonio does what I think he's going to do, he's going to be fine.
All righty. Well, good luck with that. I understand the injuries, but if I'm Mike Evans and I'm healthy and all of a sudden I'm not getting the ball like I normally get the ball, Chris Godwin not getting the ball, you might get some roughed up feelings there. I know it's about winning, but you're going to bring in Antonio Brown, famously selfish, and Bruce Arians had been around him in Pittsburgh, so he knows Antonio Brown. And I know, you know, you just say, oh, he gets a second chance. This isn't his second chance. He's had numerous chances. But Bruce has to manage that personality, and Tom Brady, I know Tom didn't want to get rid of him in New England. But Antonio Brown gets his fifth chance, ninth chance, whatever it is. Yes, McLovin.
I do kind of get it because every time Godwin catches a pass and gets hit, it feels like he has trouble getting up, and Evans gets hurt every play too. So maybe it's brilliant to have depth this year.
Well, yeah, I understand it. And you got a team that, you know, is one of the best teams in the NFC, and you want to make sure that you're going to keep that, you know, momentum going. I get a bad feeling with him. And it's a one-year deal, and it's an incentive-laden, and he's got to, you know, be on his best behavior. And if Brady's there with him, and then hopefully he is, hopefully, because we're all in agreement. I mean, he's right now, what, a borderline Hall of Famer? I mean, he's an unbelievable talent, an unbelievable story. Yeah, Paul.
It's not even a one-year deal. It's 13 weeks if all goes well. Like, if all goes perfectly well, he'll be a member of the Buccaneers for 13 weeks and never be on the roster.
Yeah. Well, he went from a three-year deal, I think $51 million, to then it was a two-year deal that he was going to get, to now a one-year deal for whatever, a million or two, possibly there with Tom Brady. Phone calls, best and worst of the weekend. Cody in Ohio leads us off. Hey, Code.
Hey, DP, 59190. Best of the weekend, my Pittsburgh Steelers beating the undefeated Tennessee Titans. The worst of the weekend, almost pulling an Atlanta Falcons. Thankfully, Mr. Rooney stays in the press box, so we're all good there.
All right. Thank you, Cody. Al in Atlanta, speaking of an owner who likes to go to the sidelines there, thinking and in anticipation of a victory. Hey, Al.
Rough. Rough. Got a best and worst and a question for Sensei Dan.
Okay.
Okay. Best, got to be game four of the World Series. Back and forth, up, down, eight straight half innings of a run scored. Beautiful game. Way to, that it ends, even better. Worst, going 0 for the weekend, starting with Illinois getting their teeth kicked in by Wisconsin, and ending with, of course, you know, another Falcons loss that they found a new way to lose. Yay. Just kick the damn field goal. Sorry. And the question, Danny, is what's worse, getting your teeth kicked in 40-7 or losing by 1 point because you went for it on fourth down again when there was no point?
I think it was 45-7, but nitpicking there, Al. The Falcons, it was amazing because Todd Gurley has done this before where he's, you know, basically went down on his own so they could run out the clock when he was with the Rams a couple of years ago. He scores with a minute, a little over a minute left, and the Lions were leading 16-14. The touchdown and then two-point conversion gave the Lions a six-point lead. If Gurley goes down outside the end zone, eats up the clock, the Lions are going to get the ball back with very little time. But I'm going to give the Lions a whole lot of credit here. You know, Stafford and Prater with the extra point. But Todd Gurley knows if he falls down and runs the clock. I don't know who says this, because I know that Todd Gurley was really upset after the game. He's mad as hell, as he said. Did Matt Ryan say, whatever you do, don't score a touchdown? Did the coaching staff say, whatever you do, don't score a touchdown?
Seems like someone's been saying that to Zeke Elliott lately. Sorry. Wow.
So I don't know. I don't know what happens in a situation like that. I don't know if somebody asked Matt Ryan, hey, did you tell Todd not to score a touchdown? Thank you, Todd. More football talk coming up next hour here, Dan Patrick Show.